Another name? Oh, certainly. And when the faceless men come to kill me, I'll say, no, you have the wrong man. I'm a different dwarf with a hideous facial scar.
Welcome to 2C1C, the Game of Thrones podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Greg Atkinson, and Brett Zeiler. Now hosted by myself, Daryl Lloyd, and Kyle Vansel, with guest appearances by past hosts and more. Many thanks to GRRM and FFG for making this possible, CardGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons music you hear in this episode. Welcome to Season 4.5.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Who was that? Was that Eddard, maybe?
Yeah. Eddard. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
He was roughly the same height as a dwarf once they cut his head off.
Too soon?
Damn.
Nah,
definitely not.
Well, welcome back. My name is Daryl Lloyd.
I'm Will Lentz.
And I'm still Kyle.
Still Kyle. We haven't replaced him yet.
Not yet.
We're trying. We're trying.
We have the technology.
We're going to rebuild him better, faster, stronger.
And funnier.
Can we take a couple of pounds off my gut when we do that? I mean,
absolutely,
if we really
are confirmed. No, if anything, we're going to add more weight. Sorry.
It jiggles when I brush my teeth, and that is so demoralizing.
Yeah. We're actually gonna cast a mold of Rosie O'Donnell, and we're just gonna make that you now. Is she still culturally relevant?
Who?
I don't think so, but you can just go ahead and shoot me if that's the route works.
Will's like, who? I'll take that as a no.
Yeah.
People are like, who the hell is Rosie O'Donnell?
How long has it been since her TV show was canceled?
I don't know.
A long time.
She looks a lot like Jay Leno.
Imagine how the Europeans that listen to this feel. I mean, they're twice removed from that reference. They don't stand a shot in hell of knowing who the fuck Rosie O'Donnell is.
You know, there's somebody now who's like, I know who Rosie O'Donnell is.
I don't think anyone proudly and defiantly goes, I know who Rosie O'Donnell is.
I think they are instead proudly saying, I have no friggin' clue who that is.
Well, lucky you.
All right, we've devoted way too much time to Rosie already for this episode.
Hey, you know, I have one last important thing to say about Rosie O'Donnell. Okay? League of Their Own, actually a great movie.
It was really good. I thought you were going to say dad ass. How about that chapter back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about it? Fire made flesh.
No, it's not on CardGameDB as this morning. I was so mad.
I was actually quite surprised by that. Because it's actually out. Like, people in the U.S. have it in their hands now, I thought.
Yeah, and there's a lot of... This pack has a lot of impact cards and a lot of things that I wanted to build with, and so I was going to throw some things together to see how they went for tonight. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to a different site to build my deck. I was a little upset.
Ouch. That stinks. I have to wait to really fiddle with it until this weekend, but I will very excitedly pick it up at Meta, I hope.
Yes. I, too, look forward to grabbing it tomorrow. So anyways, let's do this thing.
Yeah, I think we should just lead on. Again, for any new listeners, we're rating these cards on an A to F scale, like the American school grading system. And I'm going to save you all some time now and tell you that Daryl will rate everything a B.
That's right. Can never be wrong with a B. Ever.
Yeah. Not
been
complete.
Proven.
Scientific.
I was too positive. I always talk about what cards can do, and I always rate them too high. So I want to try and... I don't think this is the pack for it, because I like almost all of them, but like this will be... I need to be more of a D-bag with it.
I mean...
Yeah, dude. D-bag rules.
I don't want to just write cards off completely. I want to try to experiment and think of ways to use, you know, new and old cards. So, you know, I mean, we're always looking for that best-case scenario.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, any time that I've rated a card really bad, it's really been just because I didn't see it fitting in the meta is a lot of it. And part of it is just because I'm just plain wrong about a card. That's happened more than a few times. And I'm not afraid of that. I'll be your sacrificial lamb.
I just believe you have to look at what it can do, not what it can't. Don't say, oh, well, it has these three drawbacks. I say, okay, well, what can it gain me? I think I look too much at the glass half full, not empty enough. So tonight, you're maybe going to even see a D minus even. I don't know. I don't know what card it's going to be, but I'll try and be mean to something.
That's right. Do it. Just hate.
Okay, this sounds good. Let's get into this. Let's see which of those happens.
All right. Tell you what, I'll throw the first card out there, okay? This is a Baratheon card, Knight of the North. He is non-unique, 2 cost, 2 strength, power icon. He's a knight. He has prized 1. And while Knight of the North is participating in a challenge, characters with more than 1 icon do not count their strength.
Amazeballs. I know, we're off to a great start with me being a D-bag.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd say amazeballs, but I'm going to say pretty good.
This is a pretty interesting card. I remember we did a draft probably a couple years ago at this point with CCG cards, and there was a card that was kind of like this that had like a special challenge type thing.
Yeah, it made specialized challenges.
Yeah, and I dug the shit out of it. I thought it was just like the coolest thing ever. So I'm really happy to see this card come into play.
Yeah, they really help you push challenges through. I've been playing a couple copies, trying out the Martell girl that did the same thing for the Intrigue Challenge, who's pretty cool.
Yeah. I already forgot her name.
Yeah, same here. I remember, I remember that she's an ally, which is what I was about to bring up here. You know, you've got the different challenge type, which you can, you know, argue the importance of that back and forth. But the fact that he's a knight, which is a positive, well, 95% positive trait that works out very nicely for Baratheon with some nice synergy. What works well for the Knights of the Realm agenda, which Baratheon really loves or has the potential to love. It just slots in so much better, I think, even than the Martell girl does.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say, the power icon, I think, is what's really key. Is there's not a lot of cards being played right now that just have a power icon. So, I mean, you're going to see him be able to push through a lot more, I think, than you would like to see.
I mean, there is one important one that I think of off the top of my head. It's also 2 cost, also a mono power icon, but it has 3 strength. And, so it's everywhere. That would be Cold Hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. There's Newly Made Lord. I mean, there's cards, but he's non-unique. Yeah. And when I saw him, I instantly thought of putting him in, like, Noble Cause. I mean, you think about it, they don't lose keywords. They don't lose abilities. So if you have Vigilant and Renown or Stealth, if you have a Stealth guy, throw it in. Stealth or 1 monocon they're going to have out because they're not going to have a bunch. And just drop him, and now your power talent is unopposed off of 2 strength non-unique weenie.
Yeah, that's not bad. I could see that in Noble Cause deck. It especially, you know, if you're going the non-kneeling holy route or something like that. Like you can pretty well look at the board and tell, am I going to win the challenge off of just the knight on his own? If so, sure, I'll throw everybody in. I'll go ahead and claim the renown off of everything. Can I not win it with the knight? Maybe they do have a cold hands out or something. Then fine. I just go ahead and challenge with everybody else. I'm out, you know, one power that I might have been able to get if he was some other random two-cost chud. But he opens up some options.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the end-all, be-all in that. I mean, it's a power challenge, really, that you're getting, but it's definitely going to help in rush decks. And, I mean, I'm running some sweet Bera tech. It's a Bera Knights deck, actually, that really likes the power challenge right now because I've been falling in and out of love with Blackwater Bay.
Right.
Well, and you think about it, you still have it on defense. If for some reason you really don't want to lose that power challenge, I mean, they have to come at you with, if he's up, they have to come at you with something monocon or just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, defensively, I know Bera so very rarely thinks about the effects of losing a challenge, but on defense, but I mean, that it is a very versatile card. It's very, at first blush, you're like, okay, this is good, but I think in game state, it's going to have a very high impact. The prized one is definitely warranted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be real. We could probably sit here and talk about this card for like an hour. Let's just give it a rating and move on.
That sounds reasonable to me. What would you rate it then, D?
Oh, man. Why do I have to go first?
Well, because you
a
moved us on to rating.
I think
A minus.
A minus. All right. I'm not going to go there. I think that this is plenty cool. I think he will have a hit here and there, but I'm just going to go ahead and give him a D. He's a non-unique knight with prized one. I think that his ability is awesome, but I don't think he's a standalone champion.
He wins you
power challenges with two strength. Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can seductive off of that or anything like that.
You can support a kingdom.
By the end of the season, like, be at least two of, if there'll be at least one, if not two of, in almost every Bera deck.
Every Bera, I don't know about that. I mean,
guy's awesome.
He's,
I mean, I think he's good for really winning power challenges.
I think
that's fine, but for prized one, really?
Well, you know, just prized one, I don't think is that big a thing. And they do have some tech that helps that wants, you know, prized on the board. Granted, he's only got one icon, so like the Stand Smuggler is not going to help much. But, you know, they've got the Renown event, so there's some possibilities there, which does also boost his strength to 4, which would let you play that Seductive Promise.
All right. I mean, there's options there. You're right.
He's not, like, blown me away quite like he is Kyle, but I think he's really respectable for a non-unique character. He does a lot of what Baratheon wants. I'm willing to give him a solid B. I hate to be the B guy this time. But we'll see how the rest of the pack goes.
All right. Let's move on then.
Okay.
I'll hit up the next one. We're sticking with Bera. The next card is Heart's Bane. It is a unique attachment. It is one cost. It has the item as well as the weapon trait. And it reads, It reads, attached character gets +1 strength. Response. After you win a challenge in which attached character participated, kneel Heart's Bane to stand attached character. So it's kind of like a, I mean, it's actually really better than Vengeful because it can work on defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty nice. Kind of a one-off, or not Vengeful, I meant to say Vigilant.
Right,
but yeah, it's just kind of a one-off deal there. That's not bad.
I really dig it. I would say basically any Bera deck probably wants one copy of this for sure. You know that a lot of their characters really do some heavy hitting and challenges. you know, and this gives you another option to say maybe default to something like Double Renowned Bob out of the core set and get some work done with him. You know, if you're seeing a lot of shadows around with the Kingsguard or something like that, I think it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, Double Renowned Bob is the first place I went. Like, there's so many Barrett characters that are so good that you're to give them vigilant. Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's only,
yeah.
I didn't have to kill you first and then bring you back with...
Even, like, Bastard of Night Song, you know, take two, power off their house... plus, you know, be on the, in my mind, the more heavy hitting challenges, even though he doesn't have that power icon that Bear loves. Sure, the attachment doesn't have setup. It does have prized, and attachments are the most vulnerable type of card, but again, it's just prized one. It's unique, so it's protected from some stuff.
It's not anything.
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought of is, the Knight of Flowers no one runs, the Joust one.
Oh yeah, I was definitely thinking about him.
That's great. Hey,
I love that Knight of Flowers.
That Smuggler from the first pack, I don't think the site's going to cooperate with me right now. Do you guys have me in front of him? Does he stand any prized card?
Yes. Yes, he stands any prized card.
Okay, so not just
which is
just
why he's going to be baller as shit.
So he can stand Heartsbane, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now, I mean, that just kind of makes it a more complicated Maria Seaworth. But, you know, just the possibility there to play with some of these interactions is nice.
Yeah, the thing I like most about this card is that it doesn't have to be a Baratheon character. I've seen a lot of those cool Bera attachments, and they can only go on Baratheon characters. I'm like, oh, come the shit on. So this is going to be a fun card, I think.
Yeah, Targ might want to experiment with it. Of course, you know, they can do a lot of good things with attachments in general. Slap that on, heck, Pyat Pree or something. I don't know.
Pyat
Pree. Experiment
with
one. Stuff.
The Rise of... A Beric Dondarrion again, maybe? I don't know.
It's not terrible for Beric.
So, let's rate it. Oh,
Maesters?
I hate rating attachments.
Maesters are another
Maesters?
Idea.
Oh, man, yeah, Maesters is a good one.
Yeah.
A lot of good choices. And the plus one strength, hey, that's always nice, too. So, it's a weapon, so it's going to go on some of those people who can only take single weapon attachments. I don't know. I'm just playing now. But
yeah.
Still, I'm going to... that's good. I'm going to go ahead and give it a C. That's good stuff. But it's still an attachment.
Yeah, that's basically my reaction. I'm thinking maybe like a C+. It's really nice. I think it's a card the bearer really wants, but it's still an attachment. It's unique. I think it's probably still only one copy of in a deck, so it's not just going to completely revolutionize everything. So it's probably just a C.
I'm going to go B- because, like you said, I think this ability can be really strong, and with Conquest out there, I think, yeah, you're probably looking at prize 2 if you're going to Bera, still prize 1 if you're coming out of Bera. But there are some characters that could be really, really brutal. Like you mentioned, Pyat Pree. I'm sure there's other things I'm not thinking of at the moment that this could really do some damage on. So, and Targ loves weapons with the Fighting Pit. I'm not quite sure where that deck is, but I'm sure there's something. So I'll give it a B-. I don't think it's a world beater, but I think we'll see some really cool things done with it.
Yeah. I'm probably some super annoying shit. I mean, even if you just go back and look at the card we just talked about, like you put it on that guy, so you defend the power challenge, you know, against their guys, you win, you know, you stand him, now you can attack, you know what I mean? So there's going to be some cool options. Moving on?
I think we are.
All right, Kyle, throw it at us.
Sorry, had us pulling it up. Moving on to Greyjoy, we have Orcmont Reaver. 3 cost, non-unique, 3 strength, military intrigue, raider trait, and prized 2. Response, after an opponent plays a character from his or her hand, discard Orcmont Reaver from play, cannot be saved to kill that character.
Damn, son.
Yeah.
That's, like, there are times where this is going to be marginal, but I think there are certain times where this is going to be absolutely abusive. Like, in Choke, can you imagine kind of mid-game Choke right when you think you're about to come back? And they obviously are going to be up in resources. Like, this guy just shuts you down. And there are a lot of power characters out right now. We've seen them in this set, especially with the prized guys. A lot of impact cards are hitting the board now, and I would certainly discard this guy to kill off some of them in a heartbeat.
Yep. He is super good.
Oh, yeah.
Even for price, too. I mean, that's worth it. At least it can be.
Yeah, I think it can be. It's kind of tough. This is another card that, well, I think this is more modeled after a CCG card than an almost direct reprint like You Murdered Her Children. The old CCG one obviously didn't have prized, didn't have the intrigue icon, and discarded the character that came into play. So they changed this one up a little bit. I think it may be a little better. I think most of the time, killing a character is going to be better than discarding it, especially if it's unique. You know, a lot of people are just playing one-ofs of uniques, but maybe you run up against, say, a Power Behind the Throne that probably has at least two Cersei's in it, maybe three. You knock a Cersei off into the dead pile and they're stuck. And there's other decks that will be doing that with various other characters. Plus, the addition of that other icon is nice, because it gives him more to do while he's sitting on the board. I mean, of course, with him being prized two now, I think you really want to judge when you want to use him, when it's going to have the proper amount of impact to justify giving them the two power. And at a 3-for-3 bicon like that, with the very relevant raider trait, he does a lot of work just sitting on the board making challenges.
I mean, just the threat, this kind of goes with what I think is becoming a theme out of Greyjoy, is this kind of threat of activation. If he's on the field, how hesitant are you going to be to drop a key character? I mean, you almost can't.
Yeah.
You don't have time to put a save on it. You don't have time to do anything unless you have some kind of save effect in hand. Like,
yeah, well, and you just can't play it. That they've got Aegon's Hill as well. And then you're just then you're just stuck.
Oh, man, that's a nasty combo.
Or Confession. Greyjoy's got a lot of holy characters. Makes it very easy to play Confession. I think this Orcmont Reaver is really going to enable some Greyjoy control decks to take the forefront. Some that aren't the kind of, like, make-no-challenges, old-way type of decks.
Which, I mean, that would still be good in one of those decks.
Yes, it still could definitely be good there. This is nice. I just recently, as of tonight when we were recording, posted in response to a newer player on CardGameDB who was kind of asking some comparisons to Magic the Gathering because he was coming from there, and he was asking about Greyjoy and control and stuff, and I think he kind of latched onto it because he mentioned that he played blue and Magic, which is all about counter spells and canceling things, right? And he saw the cancels in Greyjoy. And of course, I mentioned cancels in general and Thrones are work very differently from Magic, where you're not just canceling a one-time single-shot effect like an event in Thrones. In Magic, you can also cancel a character completely entering play, you know, so it's also a full-blown removal card. And that hasn't really been seen much in Thrones, but Orcmont Reaver provides it finally. And I think that is a very powerful ability to have at their command.
Yeah. He's good. He's not crazy. You know, there's a lot more shadows running around now with the new Kingsguard, and ambush is still a thing. But there will definitely be plenty of times when he can come in handy. And I mean, I don't know. It feels like you definitely have to almost be ahead. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going against Stark and they've already spit out, like, a ton of dudes, it's probably not going to do you much good. Yeah, but, you know, he's got relevance, for sure. I mean, he's priced, too. So, I don't know if you want to roll with three of them and be willing to pop all of them. But, I mean, it depends on the situation.
Yeah, who knows? You might wind up wanting to use Wex Pike to get him back. So you can pop
shit.
Him again.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as ratings go, I really dig him. I think he kind of changes the meta here. He's not perfect. He's got that prize, too. But I think he's probably a B+. He may be an A- even.
Hmm.
I sadly will agree with Will and give him the B+. Dang it.
Man. Yeah, I know, right? Oh, man. Part of me almost wants to give him an A, but just with the way that the meta's been going, you know, more shadows, it has really been the thing. I will also give him a B. If Shadows wasn't as relevant as it was now, I would give him an A. I really would. I mean, but yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Not a bad card, though. Very good.
Yep. Okay, is it back around to me?
Back around to you.
Okay. Well, this is Iron Islands Marines, which we actually spoiled here on the show not long ago. So I don't know that I have a whole lot more to add to the discussion since then. I would just say it seems like another solid alternative for the whole character less or light kind of deck, and slots into Old Way, almost too well.
Yeah, just another big pain in the ass in Old Way.
Yeah, anything that helps character less / character light always makes me scared.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you are discarding a card from your hand, but, yeah, I mean, it can most certainly be worth it. Most certainly. Did you guys already rate this one when you guys spoiled it?
You know, I don't think we actually rated it.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we just talked about it a little bit. I think as far as ratings go, though, I would probably give it, like a C+, B-. It's real good in Old Way, but you've only got so much room for warships. The Iron Fleet Scout, you can make a pretty good argument, might be better in a lot of situations. I mean, it's solid and has a home, I think, but yeah. Not everywhere.
Man, if he had a naval icon, if it had naval icons on its military and power, I think I would rate it a whole lot better.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things you can argue is better on the Scout, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you still essentially get them on defense, because you can trigger its ability after they declare stealth, right? Or am I crazy?
Sure.
So it's half naval. Because you can't really do it on offense, but you can certainly do it on defense.
Right. Well, I would just like the ability to slip deadly in there.
Yeah. I mean, that would be... Yeah, that's exactly what they need. Let's make unique and prize 7, and then make
do it live.
There you go.
No, that's fine. I'll give it a B-. I think it's solid.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give him a D. Give him a D. I don't like the idea of discarding my cards from my hand for effects to begin with. I realize it is very good in an Old Way deck. I just don't see it in anything else. I really don't. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe warships are coming back without, like, Old Way tech. I don't know. All right, we moving on?
I think so.
All right. This is me, right?
Yep.
Dude, I'm excited. All right. We have a new Longship Iron Victory. So obviously it's unique. It is cost 3. It's a warship with prized 2. It reads, challenges, discard Longship Iron Victory, cannot be saved, to choose and kill one participating character, cannot be saved. Cannot be saved.
Bum, bum, that's, bum.
Oh man, that's real good. Cost 3 and price 2 though. That's tough. But, that's a fat ass effect though.
It is. It's got a nice thing over the Reaver that it can hit stuff that's already been on the board, you know? It can join the table afterward and take out that character the next time it participates in a challenge. I mean, and it's participate, so it's attack or defense.
Yeah.
But it's price 2, and you're giving up the other Longship Iron Victory. Which is tough for me, because I feel like Greyjoy needs that draw pretty badly.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it is discard, so you can play it, pop it, and play the new one. Or the old one, sorry.
Good.
I mean, they can coexist.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, if you do that, then, I mean, how do you run that split? Do you run one of this and two of the other LIV, so...
Sure. I mean, this card's kind of situational. If you catch it and you need it, it's great. If you don't, you don't. But, again, I mean, yeah, 3 gold and price 2 is a little rough, but, again, if you're... Let's imagine you're the opponent here. Like, what do you do with any character worth a damn?
You hope you have a save on the board. Or, sorry, no. No, it cannot be saved. Yep.
Save.
Yeah.
You hope you're playing Barracks.
So, wait, here's the thing. So, Iron Lore is any phase, am I correct?
Right.
And you just put it into play? Or do you return it to your hand?
You pay its gold cost to put it into play.
Put it into play?
Yeah.
Man, that could be fat. Just bringing it back whenever you damn well please to kill some asshole.
Yeah.
You could do it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty huge.
Yeah, so you, I mean, you could lock somebody down pretty hard. They can't challenge. They can't defend challenges. I mean, you know, you could even throw one in your deck even and just have 3 Iron Lore.
You don't even have to do it. You can use it for the escort. You can.
Yeah.
This is. I think it's worth
nice.
It. I think this is appropriate. I'll give it a C plus.
That's pretty good. I'm gonna go ahead and give it a B. I really like this guy. And mainly just for that combo I just thought of here. I mean, it is priced too, so you probably don't want to go buck nasty with it, but
yeah,
you could. I mean, in the right situation, maybe it's worth popping Iron Lore, put it back in, popping again. I mean, it depends. You know, the prize too is kind of a win more mechanic. It's really cards that have just a fat ass effect and that you're really only going to be willing to play if you're already in a position to be winning. So,
but this is a big enough effect, it may change you into that winning position.
Yeah.
Plus, you pointed out his prize, so don't forget Wex brings it back too.
Oh, shit.
Yep. It hits the Viper. I mean, I almost love it just for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's pretty huge. You know, it doesn't hit that Stannis, though. You know, the good
That's
one.
Right. That's right. He'll tell you what's up. So, yeah, I really like this card. I don't know. It could be good. Is it better than the other one? I would probably put them probably equal. I think it's... I mean, that's a really good effect. You're not doing anything but discarding it to kill them. I mean, you're giving them 2 power, but just the way you can activate it is just super easy.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so tough. And maybe that's a mark of a good thing that it's, you know, legitimately hard for me to make a call between the two different versions of this same unique card.
Yeah.
But, man, giving really good direct... character removal like this to Greyjoy is something they don't have right now.
That's right.
And I think that changes the game once they have something like this available to them. And like Kyle mentioned with the Reavers, like the threat of activation on this thing is so huge. Like, and I think he also said here, just, you know, like, what do you do? Anything you throw at them, they can blow up at will. I mean, you can't just not make challenges. So if you're smart, you gotta just keep doing them and eat it whenever they do it. So maybe there's, kind of an onus on the person playing LIV to really be looking to decide when it's worth it.
Yeah.
But what is it worth? I don't know. I'm going to go with
it. Cost.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a C plus. Man. No. B minus. I'm going to upgrade that to a B minus.
That's cool,
because,
man.
Because it's so tough. Because, like I said, this brings that direct character control to the table for them that they don't normally have. But to do it, they have to give up the draw that they don't normally have.
It's tough. We could talk about it forever. This is a new thing.
I'll just
thing.
Go round in circles.
this is a pretty new thing for the game. I've never seen this in the game before, where you could just choose to kill a dude. There's no response. There's nothing like that. It's just like, oh, he's in a challenge. I'll kill that bitch. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Of course, and remember, I do have a habit of underrating locations, so.
Should just give it, yeah, just give them all a B, man. It'll be fine. All right. Kyle?
This is so good. I'm so glad I got this card. Okay. So, moving on to Lannister, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have Hodrick Payne, and he is going to be a 2-for-2 unique. House Payne, that's important, and Squire. So two very relevant traits. Prized one in stealth, intrigue power, and the cool part, Tyrion Lannister gains a military icon, sure, but each card discarded from an opponent's hand reduces his or her draw cap by one to a minimum of zero until the end of the round. That is flat out awesome. I really need a bad card to come along because I'm tired of singing praises, but this is just at a Lannister is super good. Super, super good.
Well, depending on when their draw is taking place, if their draw is in the challenge or dominance phase or something, then Pod's looking pretty good. If you're up against, say, another Lannister deck that's drawn off of Golden Tooth Mines or something like that, or heck, even Pyromancer's Cash, then they're getting their draw in before you're probably discarding anything with Pod.
Yeah.
That's why you have things like Threat from the East and Rule by Decree.
Yeah, it does make those plots a lot better, because I think there was some rules debate on the exact timing of his stuff and whatnot, and I think from what I've gathered from folks, that's been answered now, and something like Threat from the East does immediately lower the draw cap the instant the cards are discarded, right?
Yeah, it is a constant, not a passive.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it will interrupt the middle of Threat from the East. You have gone to zero before you draw back. If you do discard, then draw.
Right.
Which is certainly the way you'd play it with him. So that's a hell of a restricted for Lannister, but you never know. I mean, I think he's cool. He legitifies things like Bear in the Maiden Fair, without his beard. Isn't there? There's another card that does that, that kind of filters their hand.
Maester Pycelle, sort of-ish.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. So, yeah.
I mean, even something like effective. Confession, which I mentioned earlier. I mean, you know, Lannister has a few Holy Crests floating around. Even something like that does it.
Yeah.
Kings of Winter agenda. I heard some rumblings about people wanting to experiment with Lannister Winter again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that happens early enough in the round that it might hamper an opponent some. I mean,
yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, even aside from that, this Pod is just super efficient. I mean, he's unique, 2-for-2, two icons with stealth. And again, prize one, not that bad. His traits are nothing good or bad, really. I mean, all that's already solid. Then you throw in this draw cap limiting ability, and that's awesome. And then this random Tyrion Lannister gets a military icon, which is seems weird to me, because the only Tyrions that I would bother to play right now both have military icons.
So. Wow. Oh, damn it, and he doesn't give Huger Hill a military icon. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. You know, like, is anybody still playing Corset Tyrion? I like the flavor.
Is that the one that lets you draw?
Yeah, pay a gold if you win a challenge he's in to draw a card.
Huh.
I mean, he's not terrible, but there's enough other sources to draw, and there's enough, like, shadows floating around right now that I would definitely be playing the shadows one.
Unless there's going to be a new Tyrion.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
That is what it seems like to me, that this is telegraphing a new Tyrion. But if nothing else, it's a nice little Nedley nod, so I definitely dig that.
Yeah. I mean, he's all right. I get that people are going to want to try to do some crazy combo, and maybe there will be some other cards that come out that, like, make people discard cards at, like, a sweet time or something. But, like, I mean, I don't know. The Threat from the East combo is a shit combo to begin with, and I don't like it. I really don't even like the idea of abusing him to do that either. Like, it's an asinine combo, but whatever. If you're going to build your deck around that, that's whatever.
Just when I was trying to argue that Threat from the East needs to come off of the restricted list, because the combo, the old degenerate combo with it forever ago, had been broken up and didn't work anyway because of errata. Now we get Pod thrown our way that works very synergistically with that plot, shall we say.
Yeah.
Just a strange thought, now that the Scourge is off the list, his gaining of an icon, isn't that constant, like Maester of War? So now at least your Tyrion can't be totally blank with icons?
Yes, yeah, it should
be. I mean, there's that. That's cool. I mean, they're all positives. Everything's either neutral or positive on him, so I'm going to give him at least a B+.
Good deal. Now, question, sorry, now that I'm thinking about the old Threat from the East combo, it mostly works with the way Pod's worded, though, right? Because the errata that we had before that corrected the wording and split things up into two player-independent effects kept it from working so that the Laughing Storm would shut down your ability to make your opponent discard and not draw. But Pod... Right. will allow that, if I understand this right. So do we need to be on the lookout for that combo to be resurrected out of Lannister?
Well, I mean, think of it, yeah, because you will both discard, and then you'll stop, and the Lannister player will draw back up. That seems almost worth the restricted. I mean, it's hard with the Castellan and the Cash and so many other good choices out there, but someone might think about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you could reasonably get a deck together, and heaven forbid it's also, say, Power Behind the Throne, that could pull that off most of the time, turn one, follow that up with a couple intrigue challenges, and their hand's just gone.
Yeah. Definitely could.
I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not saying it's busted yet, but knowing that something similar is possible again does make me think we may need to watch that.
Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to give him a D and call it that. Like, he's cool for that one combo. I'm not dramatically impressed by anything else. I mean, Lannister's got plenty of awesome two-cost dudes. So, whatever.
Moving on.
I'm not sure I actually rated him myself because I was busy thinking about that combo, and which, of course, you know, I was leaving out the rule by decree thing. If you can switch plots with Maesters or, you know, any of those sorts of things, then yeah, you are right back into that, knocking them out completely, because they've already discarded anyway from the rule by decree. The way pod's worded, you could still choose the discard, then draw option.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, we're gonna need to watch that. I'm gonna say pod for all the cool stuff he does. Probably deserves like an A-, at the least.
I don't know about all the cool stuff. He does one thing.
That one trick pony can shut down a game turn one.
Well, even aside from that, I think he's just a very nice, efficient character at the 2-for-2 with stealth, which I love.
All right, bruh.
I'll move him up to an A-. You know, the more I eat on this, yeah, that's about right.
I sure hope you guys are right. No, I don't. All right, moving on.
Yep.
Will, I think it's back to you.
Oh, it is already. Man, that's quick. We are on to another Lannister card, the Mander. It's a unique Lannister location. Cost 2. The Reach trait. And says, challenges. Kneel the Mander to draw 1 card. 2 cards instead if any player has a prized plot revealed. So interesting. It's another GTM-ish card, which bizarrely has kind of dropped out of my Lannister decks lately. I never thought I would see that day. But it is unique, which means you can House of Dreams it, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not terribly exciting, but it basically leads to an extra card drawn a turn, which it's a little later in the turn than something like TLV, but we definitely saw that the people drawing 3 cards a turn by default was pretty good in the past.
Yep. I can dig it. Who doesn't love drawing cards? Everybody loves drawing cards. That's good shit.
I drew a card once.
Yeah. I too once drew a card.
Imagine this with, with Defiance. Defiance gives prize to all your plots, right?
I think it's just as they move to the dead, or sorry, to the used pile, isn't it?
Poopsicles.
Yeah, let me get the exact text on Defiance up in front of me. Well, maybe I will not.
I think they just all gain prize. Yeah, I think Conquest is only as they leave play, but
he got cards is down.
It's all down.
Yeah, Card Game DB is too.
Each of your while moving to your used pile.
Damn it!
But I was about to say, I'm like, hey, boom! That's an awesome.
That'd be very good for Defiance.
I'd almost
considering no one's
sure
playing it right now.
I'd almost building season into it.
I guess if you're going to get some prized plots going. I mean, there's that one. I can't remember the name of it. Is it the... I can't remember the name of it. Is it the one that lets you discard a raven? Is that one prize? Or no? Maybe it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay, yep. So there you go. There's some ammo right there. Draw 2 cards during the challenge phase, man.
This is probably a card that will... I mean, it's solid as is, but yeah. I think we'll only get more and more steam as the game pool progresses.
Yeah. And don't forget, since it kneels to do its ability, we can combine it with Maesters and Steel Links and get multiple draws out of it a turn, which could be kind of cool, depending on what you're up to.
Yeah, this... I mean, this card, you know, sort of in a way kind of reminds me of Meraxes. Now, sure, Meraxes gave, you know, was 4 for dominance, and the dominance effect was nice. But really, everybody really liked just drawing the card there. So I think this is going to fill a little bit of the gap between other houses. I mean, it's not prized or anything like that. You just get to draw a card. Mm-hmm. There's no response. There's no other kind of money shot there. But, I mean, that's solid. Sure is boring. But it works.
Yeah. It's not super, you know, new and exciting, but it does what it does and does it very well.
Yeah.
I mean,
Conquest that shit.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty solid A card, I think.
Yep. I'd have to agree with you. I think that's an A. You just kneel to draw a card. Sure, it's during the challenge phase. I mean, who wouldn't like to do it during the marshalling phase, you know, to draw into a key character or something? But, I mean, it's draw, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to join the bandwagon, and you have to give this an A. I just, to maybe double up as a Golden Tooth Mine.
Yeah.
The same cost, it seems, you know, like I said, pretty solid.
Yeah. This will work for you on the turn you play it. I mean, you know, GTM sort of in a delayed way, too, but I think you could, you know, obviously you're going to be able to draw into something during the challenge phase that you could potentially use. So, in some regards, maybe better than a GTM, maybe on par.
Yeah, it has its pluses and minuses, I think.
But that's money. So that's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move it on then. It's my turn.
Yep.
Next we have a Lanny event. It says, "There are no men like me. It is House Lannister only." And it reads, "Challenges. Choose a character. Until the end of the phase, that character gains a military icon and does not kneel to attack or defend during military challenges." I mean, that's always good.
Can I just say, it seems funny to me that it says, "There are no men like me," but it turns a Lannister character essentially into Corset Jaime, making them like him. Which amuses me.
Yeah.
No,
that's not bad.
It seems pretty cool. I know Greg has been super excited about this card. When he was talking about it at League Night a couple weeks back. It's pretty cool. Works really nicely with Cersei, which is interesting on some levels, I think.
I like the quote at the bottom, "There's only me." That's all it is.
Yeah.
There's only me and this one other person that's kind of like me.
He's finishing the quote from, you know, the actual title of the card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that break there. It's nice. It's good. Like, I like that the key to catch here, and we saw it with a bunch of air cards, is that these are what makes us Lannister is the deck building restriction. It's not on the character. It's like Heartsbane, some of the other things, where I look at this and I go, okay, how can I abuse this with Conquest? That's instantly where I go. Because there's not a lot of Latin renown in Lannister. That's really what kind of would rock this house. So, think about some other things. So, another great Pia Pre candidate.
Yeah.
Do him twice.
Sure. It plays nicely with the whole cross house theme of the set, you know, conquest and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Definitely. I mean, I have a Lannister Conquest Targaryen deck right now, and I would absolutely throw this in there. I run, like, Flaming Pitch Tower and, you know, some other good stuff like that, but it does have a kind of a late-game rush element to it, and I would love to have this on there for Daenerys or, Cersei, why not? Tywin. No reason not to, really. So that's good. Ratings. Jeez. Not kneeling to attack or defend is pretty dope shit. I'm just going to go ahead and... I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it an A. You can choose any character. Sure, it's not a Lannister where military isn't really their thing. But with Conquest, there could be some fun stuff. And not kneeling to attack is always good. Or defend, I should add.
Yeah, doing both it can be quite handy.
I am not quite as high on it as you guys. I'll give it a B. There, you know what? I'll give it a B minus. Look, there's me being a D bag.
Wow.
Oh,
see,
whoa.
I'm not convinced it's quite that high. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff it does with some of those other characters. And I mean, like I said, Greg's real high on it. Maybe there's some rush potential. But it's up against a lot of other good Lanny events and such.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably just a C for me, really.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I could totally see what you're saying. I just think there's some creative ways to use it. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying, man. That Lannister event slot is a tough cookie. All right. Throw one at us, Kyle.
Moving on to Martell, we have another duplicate name card. We have the Bastard of God's Grace. This one, again, is unique. 2 for 2, just a military icon. A knight and a bastard. Stealth. And the first event card played by an opponent each round gains prized 1 if the bastard is standing.
Interesting. Kind of a weird way to be gaining power out of Martell. I'm glad it's not another, you know, cheap renown guy for them that they were getting all over the place for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Do you play him over the other bastard? I
think in certain builds. If you're worried about certain events, I don't know. I think he's a meta play. I think, like, let's say you have a Martell deck and there are just certain things you're scared of. And with certain prize card, with so many, like, powerful events coming out, like, if you can push a counterplot to prized 4, because he most likely will be standing in plot phase, I mean, that's pretty... Yeah. You're starting to get up there. And so I think the deterrent is nice. It's very soft, soft control. It's just one more thing kind of grinds on your opponent. Like I said, you have to run in the right kind of deck, but I imagine those kind of decks would not be fun to play against.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, we've already seen Corey's agenda coming on later down the road, Dark Wings, Dark Words, which is really going to, you know, incentivize playing a bunch of events. So, you know, maybe there's something there, some tech against that.
Well, yeah, they play 15 of them and they lose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, seriously, like, in a situation like that where your event base is your draw engine, can you imagine if there was a card out that said every time you draw a card, your opponent claims a power? Or I guess when your opponent draws a card, you claim a power? That would suck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You would totally have to rethink your game plan.
So if this card, like I said, it's a meta play. If you have a deck and you're like, I roll everything besides Dark Wings, Dark Words, which can exist. I think the game's kind of in a rock, paper, scissors kind of format at times. Like, if you're as weak to things that are event heavy, I'd stick one in, not two.
Yeah, probably just one. I mean, he's not a very durable, sturdy guy here on the board, especially at that 2-cost slot. And, you know, some of the event-heavy houses can knock him off very easily.
We are always one step closer with Martell Knights. It's happening. Martell Knights of the Realm.
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I've been stewing on that for a while. But, I mean, I think he's just a different choice than the first one. The first one, could only choose a Martell character, give +2 strength anyways. I mean, which isn't bad, obviously. But, I mean, claim of power is always good, and it's for your opponent doing something. So, oh, man. I mean, he's just kind of there.
Yeah, that's kind of what gets me. As you mentioned, it's for your opponent doing something, so you're kind of at their beck and call. Whereas the one drop one, I mean, is 1 for 2 strength, which is already nice. Set up, you know, better efficiency ratio there, and gives you the chance to do something. You can use that 2 strength to push through your challenges to hurt them and be more proactive rather than, you know, twiddling your fingers and waiting for them to play an event.
Yeah. All right, let's give this bitch a rating. But I'm not going first.
I'll do it. I think he's only like a C-. I personally don't think he'll see a whole bunch of play. Maybe, you know, Silver Bullet, if Darkwing's Dark Word starts going crazy in your meta. But I think most of the time I would really rather have the other bastard.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give him a fat-ass D. I mean, I think he's kind of sort of neat and might go in my Martell Knights of the Realm deck. I mean, he'd probably totally go in there, but that's really it. I mean, doesn't really do anything else.
I'll give him a D.
I mean,
it hurts. It hurts.
It's kinda there, bro.
Wow, I thought you would go higher for sure.
I mean, you just get to claim one power.
I mean, it's just not something that I'm a big fan of. It doesn't spark excitement in me as a deck builder, but...
Could be fun in Melee, though, right? Maybe?
Well, everything's fun in Melee.
Everything is fun in Melee. I'll agree with that.
Yeah,
all right, let's move on.
Okay. Who's up next? Is that back to me again?
I don't remember.
Kyle, you read the bastard, right?
Yep.
All right. Then it's me. We have another Martell card. This one's a location. The Stepstones. It's unique and a 0 drop. It has the Dorn trait. It has prized 1 and says response. After you lose a challenge, discard 1 gold token from a character you control to reveal the top card of your deck and add it to your hand. Here we go. We're trying to make Dane work again.
Listen, FFG. There's only one thing that House Dane does, and that's win challenges, you fools.
Yeah.
No, I love, dude, every House Dane deck I've ever built has been, like, super aggressive. And, I mean, I've never tried to, like, take it to a tournament because, like, yeah, it's not that good, but... Come on, we're not losing challenges.
Lose it all. So, you know, if they have you over defend, or they throw something back at you after you've knelt out to attack, I mean...
Come on.
I think why you gotta lose challenges out of House Dane? I feel like House Dane is like the opposite of regular Martell. It's just a more aggressive, like, spit dudes out. And it's prized 1, though, Holmes.
Yeah.
Come on. I gotta lose a challenge. Come on. Let me win a challenge and discard a gold token. Why can't I win one? Why can't Martell have something next?
Because you're Martell. That's why.
But you already got to build around having gold tokens on bros.
Daryl, this is why you can't have nice things.
Unless we're running it out of Lannister and we use that one merchant guy and stuff, and the merchant widow maybe too.
Yeah, and Corsair Tywin. That's a possibility. Well, and Martell's got that mercenary, Old Bill Bone.
Hey, who doesn't like old Bill Bone?
Yeah, let's see, out of Targ, you've got Strong Belwas, which actually could be kind of cool. Grayscale? Yeah.
Grayscale? Oh, shit. There you go. I just hate that we have to lose challenges. I don't know. If you're going to support, I mean, I feel like if cards are going to come out like this for Martell, then more of their cards... I feel like more like hard-hitting cards should have that effect. Now, I understand that Burning on the Sands and Red Vengeance exist. I'm just saying for some of those other fat effects they have. I understand that those are 2 super fat effects. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, this is... Come on. Come on, man.
See, I'm not as worried about the losing their challenge thing. I'm more looking at the fact that you have to discard a gold token... Which means gold token has to have already gotten on the character somehow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as we talked about when Old Bill Bone was released, he's not going to get one very often. Starfall only gets you, let's see, one per challenge, right? One total, no matter how many characters you put in.
I believe so.
Yeah, so it doesn't build them up very quickly. A couple of the Dane guys, I forget the names now, come into play with gold tokens, right? One of them discards to save, and one discards to cancel stuff. So if you're chucking those for cards, you're passing up some pretty good abilities. If you're looking at some of the out-of-house stuff, you know, you're starting to look into some pretty sketchy synergies if you're bothering to play Corset Tywin Lannister just for the stepstones. I would like to see another good way to get gold tokens on characters. If you get another good way to do that, I think the stepstones could be really rad. Because you don't have to kneel the stepstones to do it. You just have to have gold tokens to discard anytime you lose a challenge. So
it also gets a round draw.
I mean,
that is significant.
That's a good point. Very good point. And hopefully this is just a precursor of things to come. Maybe we'll get more House Dane, because I love me some House Dane, let me tell you what.
Oh, I know you do, man.
Yeah.
It'd be a much better build out of Martell than some of the other crap we've been seeing lately. I'd much rather face Danes than Bloodthirst or...
Yeah. I mean, dude, House Dane is super fun. If you have never built a House Dane deck, build one. You'll have fun. I mean, unless winning is the only time you have fun, then you'll only have fun, you know, half of the time. But other than that, you'll have fun.
Great.
Yeah, I know, right? If you have to rate it, what would you give it? I'll just go ahead and say I'm going to give it a C, with the hopes that we're going to see more House Dane in this cycle. If this is just a one-off, then that's total bullshit. But hopefully we're going to see some House Dane goodies come down the pipe.
Yeah, I'm of a fairly similar mind. I think the Stepstones right now, because that gold token requirement is maybe like a, gosh, like a D+. But if we see something else, doesn't even have to be House Dane. If we just see another good way to generate gold tokens on characters, I think the Stepstones could rocket upward from that rating very easily.
I'll give it a B on potential. I have to believe there's something else that can support this theme if they really are going to try and nurse House Dane into relevance.
They should. I mean, they spent an awful lot of work giving them all this other stuff. Pretty good stuff, might I add. You know, that Maester... The healer is not bad. Starfall Cavalry is decent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got the tools, man. Just let them get the rest of that. Come on. All right, moving on.
Yep. Over.
Is it me?
Yep.
All righty. Into stock. Okay, here we go. Now I can talk. The Drunkard's Tower. It is a one-cost unique location. It has the Westeros trait. It is House Stark only. It says, when you count income, count 2 additional gold if you control fewer characters than each opponent. So we've seen another location, I think it was cost 1 as well, that gave you +1 strength if you had less characters than each opponent. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting, you know, a gold count income. This is all well and good. I'm not seeing a lot of other like characters to support that, but I mean, maybe they're wanting you to go back to the Frozen Outpost days or something. I don't know. I mean, counting 2 additional gold, though, just for shits and giggles, if you control fewer dudes, is pretty nice.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I mean, obviously, you're right. They're giving us a theme here of the different towers at Moat Cailin. But I actually think the other one that gives +1 strength is probably better than this, because it helps you win challenges with those less characters. The Drunkard's Tower, on the other hand, gives you more gold, which may or may not help you play more characters, depending on if you have them available in your hand and you don't have the draw to back that up. But once you do take advantage of its ability, it turns itself off, you know, once you catch up. So I don't feel like I'm getting quite as I don't know, good of a use out of that as compared to just playing, say, either the summer or winter King's Road at the one cost resource provided slot.
Right. I mean, I totally see where you're coming from. I feel like this is FFG's attempt to veer the theme of Stark. And that's all well and good. I like the idea of more options out of different houses. I mean, we are only three packs into the cycle now. Mm-hmm. So we still have, what, another three, right? It's six in each one? I think so.
Six packs in each cycle?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I hope they're going to pump out a lot more stuff or something for the future, because right now, Stark doesn't really support this theme in any other way. Like, I might as well just have those badass characters I would have, as well as a bunch of other chuds, you know, and just kind of flood the board, which is, I think, what Stark's always done very well. So, I mean, I don't know what they're shooting for here. They don't have a lot of, like, Stark doesn't have a ton of control cards. Like, they have some cool stuff, like Guilty, like in the dominance phase and stuff like that. But I don't know if they've got anything to...
I mean, and the challenge response stuff. But I think I would rather have more characters on the board.
More dudes, right?
Yeah, and just be beaten face if I'm going to use those. They've got some shadow stuff, you know. You could be hanging back with Mira in shadows so that you have less characters and then bring her out in the challenge phase and things like those lines. But
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you go? No, finish your thought and I'll mention what I was
going to say. It was not much more. All I was going to say was I just think that the Drunkard's Tower is a little too clunky for what it does. Just you know, turning itself off once you start taking advantage of it, basically.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. My first thought, though, now after seeing this card, is what do you think there's a possibility of them coming out with a new Stark agenda? You know, I mean, we already have
Bloodthirst. Maybe that's how they're going to fix Bloodthirst, finally.
Make another one?
In the end, they're just going to make it House Stark only.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. That would be interesting, you know? That's actually not a bad thought. Stark could use some draw. We all know they could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I legitimately laughed at that thinking that was a joke, but now, you know what?
Now you like that
idea. That could
work.
I really like that idea, actually. I really like it.
Kyle?
Like, that would be super sick. Well, especially, like, Frozen Outpost and, like, some of those dudes who don't kneel to defend and stuff, like, oh my god, that would be so cool. But
I think there's something here. I think this encourages more hard control out of Stark. I know Ben way back in the day had a Stark Shadows deck that was more annoying than anything. I don't know how much it really won anything, but I mean, there are definitely decks maybe out there that could use this, playing high impact characters, or something very akin to Bloodthirst. It'd be interesting to see how it plays out, but yeah, it's a thought.
Dude, you get this, you get like this stuff out, you get like Holding the Trident, you play that plot for the first time ever, unless you're me for some reason. Dude, that would be sick. I would like this to happen. All the Martell players right now are like, no! You idiot! I mean, it's totally well and good out of Martell. Like, they support a theme that has less characters, but man, something just feels right about Stark doing that. I don't know. Maybe not. That'd be fun. Anyways, if you had to rate this card, did we already do that? No, we haven't.
would you give it?
Hmm.
I'll give it a C.
Really?
I think you'll see it in some decks. I think, like I said, Stark Shadows is what comes to mind for me. But
yeah, I mean, it comes to mind. But man, I still just think I would rather have a guaranteed income, like a guaranteed flat income of one, rather than a swingy back and forth potential two.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling real high on this Stark location. I think it's probably the worst out of these less characters. So I'm gonna go with a. It's getting like a D to a D minus, maybe.
Yeah. I could see it sort of working. Maybe you're doing like some winter stuff. It would still be hard to slot it in there as is. I gave the first location an F, and I'm not going to change my mind. I think this one also deserves an F. Stark does not support this theme as of right now. There's only one other card that does anything to this effect, and I'm just not seeing it. Not to mention, it's just not there.
I think it's there, it's just not popular right now. Like I said, I think there are builds that this helps push viable. I mean, we got one last pack, we're getting two towers this pack, so it's already three cards, and we're
So do you think this is going to be like get like fat ass armies out and then rock and roll from there? I mean, is that
possibly
really going to be better?
You stick a Northern Cavalry flank on the board, you're probably winning some challenges even if you have less guys.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe you're right, but I just don't see it right now. Stark has some fantastic locations. I can't see this being played over any of their other ones right now. I just don't see it.
I don't
know. Let's move on. Moving on then.
Who's up next?
It's Kyle.
Is it me?
Yes, sir.
I will get the next tower, the Children's Tower, the Westeros trait, House Stark only, and in dominance, if you control fewer characters, kneel it to search the top five cards of your deck and add a card to your hand, then shuffle the other cards back into your deck. That is pretty freaking solid.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, now that is how you support a theme right there. That's some dope shit.
That is way better than the prior tower, and certainly better than the very first tower. This one, I think, is what may make this possibly viable.
Yeah.
You stay down and find whatever answer you can get to in the top five. Heck, we get enough of these search the top five card effects, we may actually see, what's that location, Carhold Rookery?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we may actually see some play there.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's probably a pipe dream.
The only thing that this card really needs, it should be search the top five cards of your deck, or search for Riders of the Red Fork.
Right.
Nothing gets you out of a bind better than those guys. Children's Tower.
Please did that.
It's a great effect.
This
is great.
I think it's really solid. I would be willing to drop one copy into a lot of Stark decks.
Even
if I'm not building specifically around this theme, if I'm just ever down, it lets me go, you know, dig for the best answer I can find at the time.
That's right. Honestly, even if they support this theme more, which I hope they do, this is very interesting. I still like this way more than the plus one strength. I still like this a million times more than the plus two gold, which, I mean, that could come in handy, but this is so good. So good. Ugh, that's nasty.
It's not, you know, game-breaking amazing. Pretty good. I mean, I think it's probably up there with, what's
Harrenhal. It's a deeper Harrenhal sort of type
thing. Harrenhal, or maybe Harwin, you know, it lets you look for something when you're behind in some way. It's
like,
probably a little
stuff.
Worse than Harrenhal, because Harrenhal can still let you look when you're on top and you're killing their character.
Right. But it is a lot cheaper than Harrenhal.
Yeah.
I'd say it's pretty equitable
to a nice trade
to Harwin, which, you know, one copy of him has made it into a couple things lately. You know, yeah. there's one copy of him in my Stark Knights and such. Children's Tower. I don't know. Rating wise, I'd probably give it like a C+.
Okay, it's pretty good. Pretty good. I would also second the C. Nah, who am I kidding? I love this effect. I'm going to give it a B. I'm going to give it a B, and there's not really a lot of support for this, but if there is, this card's the titties.
Yeah, I have to go B as well. For a card that can very significantly validates a potential for a theme all by itself, I think, yeah, we'll give it a B.
I mean, digging deep rules. Five cards deep is always good. We've seen that with Lewin before, and he can only get you an event. This time you get to go five cards deep and just choose your card. Yes, you have to have control, you know, the least amount of characters. You know, you have that. I hope that is a theme that they continue to support. I mean, I guess that's kind of the idea. Maybe you just show tidbits of, like, just kind of okay stuff, and maybe we're going to get the fat boys in, like, pack 5 or 6 that are just awesome effects if you control the least amount of characters. It would be interesting. All right, we rolling?
Mm-hmm.
Rolling!
I think it's on to me with the next one, isn't it?
Also, thanks a lot, Bloodthirst, for making this House Stark only. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You bastards. It's the only reason, I'm sure.
Okay, so now we move on to a Stark attachment. This is Ice. Of course, it's unique. It's an item, a weapon, prized 2, and goes on a unique Stark character only. Challenges. While attached characters participating in a challenge, discard Ice to choose and kill up to X participating characters. X is the number of prized cards you control.
Hmm.
Yeah, very interesting to see this in the same pack with that LIV. It's, and of course, this Ice has a very similar ability to the original Ice, but some potential to kill more characters if you have more prized cards.
Hmm.
I think it's kind of solid. I mean, it can almost guarantee you unopposed. That will depend. Like, I'd put this on Lewin.
Yeah.
It should be bonkers on Lewin, or a Cat of Canals, so you know it's safe.
Yeah.
And it's like, attack with your best dude, bro, because someone's going to kill him. Especially on Cat of Canals. Like, that is... Cat with the Ice, he just becomes a wall. But just like that stupid boat, if you're attacking, like, if you don't have a save, you just can't send your best guys. Just can't.
Yeah.
I think it's a one of at most. I don't ever see me running two of in a deck, but it's a nice control-y card for Stark.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's an attachment. I think it does less for Stark than, say, Heartsbane does for Baratheon. You know, Stark's got a lot of kill events that are available, or even attachments with something like, I always forget the name, the Icy Catapult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the original Ice really doesn't see any play, aside from wonky Widow's Watch decks that I've run in the past that want to keep, you know, searching out a new copy of it every time you ice something.
That's right. Turn around, there's a Smirnoff Ice just waiting for you. Boom, iced.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
Iced. So, I don't know. It probably depends on how many prized cards Stark winds up wanting to really play. If I can... Man, but then the opponent knows as far as how many characters they commit...
Yeah, they just kind of work around it, don't they?
Yeah, it's just...
Unless we're doing naval
it's
shit.
It's so tough. Oh. I just think it'll wind up doing less than you really want it 2, and the other ice that I think already does what this ice will probably amount to doesn't see play.
Oh, wow.
So I don't really think this one will either.
We need some more constant prized effects. Prized locations, maybe a really defensive prized character, prized attachments that go on locations or your house card, like the chambers, stuff like that.
Well, we know those wardens are coming, so
yes,
that's something.
So, I mean, that would help with this.
Yeah.
And like I said, a prized location would do wonders. I think it's okay. I think it might see play. It has much better hope than the old ice, I think.
I think it has a slightly better hope. I mean, prize 2 is still pretty big.
Yeah. This card would just be so much better if it didn't have to go on a unique character.
Yeah, unique, Stark only. It's got a lot more playing restrictions on there as well.
But I totally see what you're saying about the downsides, and the other ice honestly wasn't that bad. Like it was pretty decent actually. And the idea of killing, obviously living the dream is like having like even just 2 prized cards out and popping somebody's dudes. But I just don't know.
I mean, on defense, the guy can be stealth passed, which you can't do to something like that new LIV.
Let's just rate it and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Let's move on to another one. I just don't know. I'm going to go ahead and rate this a big fat D for Daryl.
Good call. Now, I think I'm in about the same boat. I don't think it'll see much play at all. So I think I'll give it a D as well.
I'll give it a D+ because I like it marginally more than both of you.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a D. I mean, that's still me being a douchebag.
I understand that.
D, you know, douchebag.
It's just not, I don't know. It's just not that great. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe.
I think with time, like I said, if it gets more static prize cards, potential to kill 2-3 things could get real interesting.
Yeah. You're probably right. When's the, like, maybe there was like an Iron Throne coming out or something that's neutral and that's prized. Wouldn't that make sense to be prized? The Iron Throne is prized? Like, prize 3 does something awesome? Maybe they'll do some stuff like that. I don't know. All right. I forgot who's next. Is it me?
That would be you.
I think it is. All right, here we go. We're rolling in Targaryen territory. All right, we have Blackfyre. It is a unique 2-cost attachment. Has the item as well as the weapon trait. It is prized 1 and has the setup keyword. Hells yeah. It reads, response. If it is not winter, after attached character is declared as a defender, Neil Blackfyre to remove all characters without attachments from the challenge.
Awesome.
That's not bad. That's a pretty decent effect.
It has setup, which is a big help compared to prior attachments. 2's kind of feels expensive to me for an attachment. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
You know what's interesting? We're seeing a bunch of Valyrian steel blades this chapter pack. I don't know.
Yep.
Just find it interesting.
I like it. Especially with the new Viz out, so you can knock off a few attachments they do play. It's awesome.
So, one, I guess, powerful part of this card that I guess we should mention is that it does not stand and remove those attacking characters. It just removes them from the challenge. I'm pretty sure we know a little something about a card that does that. That's pretty dope. Pentoshi.
Yeah.
Pretty strong effect.
in the form of an attachment now.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty strong. Two cost is a little...
It's a little rich for my blood, I would like. Sure.
It's also prized, which, you know, one isn't too bad. But, man, there's a lot of kind of restrictions on that to me. Not winner. It only works after that character is declared as a defender, so you can't ever use it on offense to push challenges through. And if they've got stealth, they just go around your guy.
Stealth could be. What is, there's Jogo's Whip, right? What, doesn't that do something like a similar thing? Like you can remove up to two attackers or something?
Yeah.
And remove them though?
I believe you kneel it to remove a character, and then if it's on Jogo, then you can remove two.
Do you stand and remove them though? I feel like that one's stand and remove.
There's
maybe,
a good way to find
maybe
out.
Maybe it's not. I forget, but. And, you know, I remember first seeing that effect and thinking that it would be better than it turned out to be.
Let's find out.
Maybe they really want us to, like, start running, like, Dragon's Egg. So we're, like, in this meta where everyone's playing attachments. And so we Dragon's Egg on their attachments. And now we drop this Blackfire in out of nowhere and defend this challenge and look like ballers living the dream when they swung out or something. But maybe not.
A lot of effects in this chapter pack that deter you from doing big challenges.
Right.
With either key characters or swarms.
Yeah, Jogo's Whip does stand them.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Of course, Jogo's Whip, well, it can only go on a Dothraki, but it does have ambush, so you're more likely to actually surprise somebody with it. So, I don't know. It's kind of half a dozen of one, six of the other, comparing the two. Both unique weapons. One has ambush, one has setup. They both have some different restrictions and stuff, and I mean, Jogo's Whip doesn't exactly see a lot of play.
I really don't know. Maybe it's something that's thematic, why it has to not be winter. I mean, winter's like the most prevalent season, you know.
Well, that's a Targ
to be played.
Targs hate winter.
Well,
yeah.
Then why doesn't this also do something when it's summer then to like bump them up? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, why can't we give, like, if it's summer, attached character gains renown as well or something? Like, I just don't.
Every card can't be bonkers.
That's true, but every prize card should be good.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I think the prize needs to balance it. I mean, without the prized, I think this would see significant play.
Really? At prized one, I don't know that that's that big of a thing. I mean, it's still in a... To me, that really doesn't bother me on this. The things are, it's an attachment, the winter restriction, and only when that character is declared as a defender.
I mean, there's some good defensive reasons to have that, and, I mean, I guess there could be. There could be some magic. Hang on a sec. So, you do have to kneel Blackfire. It's like, oh, wait, if you don't have to kneel Blackfire, and have it on a character that doesn't kneel to defend, then you're rocking Cox. But never mind. You have to nail it. So, All right, let's just rate it and move on, I guess. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to give it a D, because the effect, I think, in the right hands could be good, but is still not an attachment that is worth 2 gold, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'm right there. It's kind of weird that I'm following up and not digging the rest of the weapons nearly as much as I, for some reason, really liked Heartsbane.
Heartsbane's good.
Yeah, but Blackfire's not doing it for me. I think it's probably a D.
Maybe if it said, then if it's winter, or then if it's summer, stand attached character. Maybe that would work better. Oh well, it's too late now. Kyle, what are you giving it?
I'll give it a C-, because I'd put a copy in Rusted Maesters. But That's about it.
It is a weapon. That's a good point.
It sure is.
Weapons are hot.
Weapons are hot.
And you're going to have attachments.
Oh, shit. You're right. Mirny's fighting pit. You're right. Stand your boy. So it doesn't have to be summer. You just stand him with the fighting pit. That's a good point.
So, I don't know. I think you'll probably see a one drop and a couple quirky decks.
I mean, that does sound like a good play that didn't come to mind, but I just don't know if it's enough.
It's probably not. Hence a C minus. There's really like a D in most people's books. If I'm giving something like, if you can't get a degree with my grade, then it's probably a little rough.
All right. Why don't you throw the next one at us, Kyle?
So next up, we have a Targ event that bears the namesake of this pack. It's Fire Made Flesh. It is a House Targ only prized 2 event. Challenges Neelan Influence to choose a unique character, any unique. Until the end of the phase, that character gains renown and does not kneel to attack. Whoop whoop.
Booyah.
Super good.
Yeah. That's good. That's pretty good.
This in Danny's favor makes for a pretty nasty combo.
Yeah.
For 0 gold, 2 cards.
Yeah, man. You can gain a lot of power if you're winning all 3 of those challenges. Man, doesn't kneel to attack and actually gains the renown. Oh, man.
Find someone with a cool win ability. Just go all day.
You think
Pyatt
this is Pri also...
again?
Oh, Pyatt Pri, why not?
I'm real high on Pyatt Pri lately. He does good work.
Yes. Yes, he does. You think this is good for Heir to the Iron Throne? Is this enough, you think? Or do you think it's just going to be... This is really just going to be put in, you know, a different style of deck than that? Because I haven't seen a lot of Heir to the Iron Throne with any kind of steam here recently.
I mean, I think this adds a lot of legs to Heir to the Iron Throne. I mean, there's definitely some other cool stuff to be looking at. But, you know, those centerpiece dragons... If you're rolling the 4-cost, 4-strength stealth ones, suddenly they're not kneeling to attack. They also have renown, and they all have abilities that trigger off of winning a challenge with them. So, you know, say you just played this on Viserion, who discards locations. You know, you've got another couple dragons or something that you can throw into that first challenge, so you can discard a, you know, 1 or 2-cost location. Maybe on the military or something, then you can throw him out and win a couple power challenges, knock off a couple 0-cost reducers or whatever. That can have a lot of board impact, you know, on top of the power you're gaining.
Yeah. It definitely looks good to me for Heir to the Iron Throne, as well as everything else. I mean, come on. Renown doesn't kneel to attack. Like, that's money if I've ever seen it, especially in Melee. Like, come on. Come on, bro.
Well, and there's some conquest and treaty style stuff that I'm sure want to look at this. You know, you want to, well, it's maybe not as effective to drop that on Fat Bob since he already has renown. But there's some other stuff you can look at. We mentioned the Bastard of Night song earlier with Heartsbane. You know, similar things apply there.
Right.
Or, heck, can you imagine some kind of crazy Targ Conquest to Greyjoy winter deck where you could be playing this on some of their sweet cards? I don't know. It doesn't have to be winter, but, you know, there's some nice options there. Somebody with Intimidate or something. Well, the more I think about that, I guess... My first thought would have been something like Crow's Eye that keeps your opponent from playing events. Of course, he already has renown, but he is a Tricon. I don't know. It's kind of a trade-off. I'd really have to stop and look at the card pool, but it definitely feels like there's some good options.
There's a lot of cool choices. Let's not forget, it is priced too, So it's not like you can just go ham without, you know, using your noggin. Because, you know, you play this like pre-challenges and you're like, hey, I'm going to do this for this guy. And somebody, you know, maybe you see a Prince's Wrath or something. I don't know. Or somebody just burns that character down or something. Well, womp womp, you know what I mean? So,
I mean,
you got to play it right.
But I think it lends itself to the type of deck that cares the least about giving your opponent prize power, and that's Rush. Honestly, it arguably helps that kind of deck, giving them power to steal.
Absolutely.
Plus, remember that location that we dug a while back? At least as far as a melee card for Targ. I mean, I thought it was kind of neat, but it's not really big in Joust play. Good old Griffin's Roost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, raise your power claim when you're coming back at him.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Could be nice. So, definitely some options there.
I mean, yeah, it's price too, but if you're given renown, if you're assuming you're winning the challenges, you break even on a bicon, you net one on a tricon, and that's assuming you don't steal any power from them.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're winning the challenges, you're taking a power from them too, so yeah, you're gaining pretty much no matter what, as long as you're...
Yeah, so if you win all three, it's 4-1 power-wise. I mean, that's pretty nice for one influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it's a cool card. Let's throw a rating at it. Kyle, what would you give it?
A-.
It's a great choice.
It's looking really good.
No, I'm bumping that up to an A. It has an influence cost. You can't even paper shield this SOB.
Yeah. Just like friggin' Incinerate. It's not hard to come up with one influence.
God, yeah, I know. God, Incinerate.
Yeah. And, man, it doesn't, even in, like, the traditional Targ decks, it doesn't, it doesn't just fit like a Grand Slam new burn card would, but I can even see a lot of those decks that have been controlling the game, keeping, slowing it down with the burn, kind of keeping power totals low, that just drop something on the board, say one of those dragons or whatnot, and just wants to just slam home the win in a turn or two. You know, like even the Bloodthirst decks, just wait, turtle, drop a Viper and go to town. I think similar things are possible here. Man, I think it's going to be really good. I think it's probably worth an A-.
Yeah, I'll second that. It's worth an A. I mean, prize two, sure, but renown and not kneeling to attack is fantastic. It does have to be unique characters, so don't forget that, but very, very good.
From any house.
Oh, any unique character from any house. Yeah, that's a great point.
So cool.
I like that we're encouraging a little bit of splashing rainbow effects or whatever you want to try and do. I like that. That's fun. Might not always be thematic, but it's fun. And I like fun. All right. Moving on. Will, you gonna throw it at me?
Yeah. We're headed over to neutral. This time we have the House Bannerman. He's a one drop with one strength and a power icon. He's a Bannerman and an ally. And says, Marshalling, kneel House Bannerman to ignore all gold penalties on the next card you play this phase. Can you say seeding the card pool for future draft environments? Because that's what I see when I look at this guy.
Dude, this guy is super fun. I see a lot of things. Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely good. Maybe even a little splash here and there. I mean, yeah, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see some splashing, especially with the discard a card from your hand to do something Bannermen, you know, like out of Greyjoy, there's definitely a few things that they would be fine with splashing out of house, maybe to solve some of the draw problems or whatnot, and then having the ability to kneel even more locations even more easily with let's see, which good brother is that? Gormond?
It's the one that can't be discarded or the one that saves locations?
Neither one. The one that lets you discard a card from your hand to kneel X locations, where X is the number of bannermen you control.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I can't thought Gorald was the one that can't be discarded, or that you do discard if you don't control the most locations. And then Gormund is the one that can't be killed or discarded if you have the most. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Yeah, so hard to keep track of them.
Is there a Gerald, good brother?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
No Gerald.
Damn it! Gerald! The lost good brother. So, there was a card that was printed, like, gave a similar vibe a while back. Back in the Maester cycle. And that was the Old Town Raven, which you would kneel at to ignore the out-of-house penalty. I think you also reduced that character by one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
as well.
You did.
And so that was pretty sweet. Like, I thought that was really cool. It only worked on Maesters. This gives, I think, that same vibe. Obviously, you're not lowering the cost of that by one, but it just has more versatility. And who knows? Maybe you're going to do some crazy Maester other stuff type deck, and you could throw.
I mean,
you know,
it can be anything.
This and that.
Character, location, or attachment.
Yeah.
It's cool. A neutral house. I mean, that's what this naturally goes for me is if you're trying to make neutral. I'm kind of peeking ahead of some of the other cards in this pack.
You cheater.
I know, but like if neutral is going to be a thing in a competitive house,
Hell this has
a lot for that.
Right.
Yeah. It's really nice for them to have that additional resource, especially if they're going to try out, the Long Voyage again.
Sure. Sure.
Great agenda.
Oh, yeah. Sure was a lot better than I thought it would be. Thanks for opening up old wounds.
You're welcome.
This card is very cool, very fun. If we had to give it a rating, what would you give it, Will?
I mean, it's not going to go everywhere. It's just kind of neat. And I think to really justify playing it over just some regular resource cards, you really want to be playing with that Bannerman trait. So it's not going to be everywhere. He's honestly, I hate to say it, probably like a C-minus card. He's very niche. He may even only be a D+.
Yeah, I was about to say, he probably honestly gets a D. I mean, he does have the Bannerman trait, which is awesome. Hopefully could potentially do some cool stuff. But aside from that really niche deck, he's really not going to do a whole lot for you. I wish he was a knight. That would be cool. If he was a knight, then we could really rock and roll. You know, Knights of the Realm and do some cool stuff with some out-of-house knights or something. But unfortunately, he's not a knight. So we're just kind of here. I mean, not bad. Super fun. I will give him a D as well. And I don't mean that to be offensive to the design of this card. This is one that is actually really speaks to me and the way that I like to play this game. And I just like to have a blast and do some kooky stuff. And this is totally a card for that. I just don't think it's going to see a lot of play outside of that.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a D as well.
There you go. Keep it up.
There
man.
You go. I give it a D with disdain.
I've given so many bad ratings tonight. This hurts.
I've given out a lot, too. It makes me feel a little dirty. In a good way. All right, let's move on then.
Yep.
Next up, we're sticking neutral. We've got Septon Ut. Maybe it's Ut.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's called
probably Ut. Probably Ut. He's two cost. He's unique, I should say. He's two cost, two strength, Intrigue, power icon. He has the Septon as well as the Mercenary trait. He is prized one with stealth. He reads response. After Septon enters or leaves play, draw one card if you are running the neutral faction house card.
I mean, it seems pretty okay.
Does seem pretty okay. Trying to further the idea of that mercenary theme with the neutral faction. I like that they're given neutral love. I really like that. The kind of just the pop in and to draw a card. Like, I hope there's going to be more for that. Like, maybe, you know, ways to send them back to your hand. Maybe there'll be something cool there. I really hope that the neutral faction house card continues to get support throughout Game of Thrones from here on. Otherwise, I feel like it's going to be kind of like the Brotherhood stuff. You know what I mean? It's just kind of not playable unless you're running Brotherhood. So, yeah.
That made no sense.
That didn't make any sense?
So the neutral faction house card is not playable unless you play neutral faction.
No, I'm saying cards like this cards that support this theme can be played outside of that, if that makes sense.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If that makes sense. Now I realize this card is made specifically for neutral faction, whereas the Brotherhood guys can be played without Brotherhood, but like are utterly useless. Unless you're running that agenda. Like, it's the same idea. Like, this card would be utterly useless to the game unless you're running neutral faction. And I just want to make sure that neutral gets more support throughout the set so there's more options for neutral. Like, Brotherhood is very stagnant right now because those are the only cards that came out that really supported Brotherhood. There have been a couple recently that have said, like, if a player has more power on their house card, etc. But I'm just saying, like, they were stagnant there for, like, two cycles before they got something, is what I was trying to say. I did word that weirdly. You're right. I did word that weirdly, but that's what I meant to say.
I don't know if it's just late or what, but I'm like, the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, because I'm feeling a little bit there, too. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, right. In a roundabout way, you brought up something that I find kind of bizarre. You know, because we're getting these mercenaries that all really only do their thing if you're running the neutral faction, house card, right? Which isn't really house, but we won't get into that. Does it seem like a bit of a flavor fail that these mercenaries who sell their services to the highest bidder won't actually ever go to work for any of the other houses or any of the actual houses? They will never take a side. No matter how much money you spend on them, they will never actually come do the thing for you.
That's a really good point, man. Yeah.
Oh, well, it happens.
Yeah.
Feels like a real flavor fail to me now that it crossed my mind.
Yeah. Whatever. This is a good card.
But he's super
good. He's fun. But I totally understand that.
A lot like Pod, just right off the bat. He's already a 2-cost, 2-strength, Bicon with stealth. Prize one, again, doesn't matter. But yeah, but he does have a crest. His ability, you know, gets you is like a mini Bannerman ability, which is still pretty solid. You could, I mean, if you wanted to get really crazy, you could bring him back with many powers long asleep, but it feels like a bit of a waste of a plot slot to do that.
Plot.
Yeah.
Why? Get you a couple cards.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe a plot that said 3-5-1, draw a card, and then maybe draw a card next turn, you know, this turn or next turn would be playable. I'm not sure.
I mean, you do get a dude with a Holy Crest and Bicon stealth in the meantime.
Yeah. Of course, you know, if you're triggering that leaves play thing, you're potentially giving your opponent power as well. You're definitely giving it to your opponent if he's in the dead pile for many powers to bring back.
Right. And we haven't seen the rest of the cycle, so maybe there will be more stuff. But, hey, you know, I like that they're at least giving neutral faction more support, because they just kind of dropped the house card out there, and then there wasn't really a whole lot to go for. So now we're getting a little bit. It's nice.
So what kind of rating do you give a pretty niche guy like this?
Oh, man. You know, I feel like I do kind of give this the same look that I would Brotherhood. You know, the same idea, only kind of playable with the, you know, in neutral, obviously, this one is. But and the Brotherhood guys were just so fat and had, like, these such awesome effects for what they did. This guy, it's a decent effect. Like, he comes to play, you draw a card. He leaves play, you draw a card. Like, that's neat. I don't think it's insane. So I'm just going to go ahead and give him a C.
The Holy Crest has me thinking, like, the Shine stuff. I think you might see him splashed in other houses. So I would give him a B. I mean, they're so good in a neutral house. I'll give him a B.
Okay. You don't have to yell into your mic.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I think my mic moved.
It's okay.
Not bad.
Stop laying down, jeez.
It's like I'm at a therapist.
But a B, that's all right, bro. All right.
Any card can suck if you throw it in a crappy situation.
Well, I mean, that's true. But he's not just, like, blowing me away in the best situations either. He's just like, oh, okay, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's probably a solid, like, C+. You know, we may see a lot of him, though, if the neutral faction really gets new legs with all this stuff put together.
Yeah. Maybe. Confession, Massey's Hook Stand'em, Confession. Nah, maybe not.
Nope, that's exactly what you do.
That's right, exactly. Son. All right. Why don't you throw the next one at us, Kyle?
Oh, man.
Oh,
what's
man.
What's the next one?
This art looks a little disturbing. Is that a statue? What the hell is that? Is he riding on a? Is that a Wang? What is that?
I'm really not absolutely sure.
I would like to think that's a statue.
Looks like a statue from a distance, a turd or a Wang, but
I guess when you get,
possibly it's pretty dark.
No, there's clearly a face there. Not important. Anyways, the next card is Zolo, a unique neutral, one cost, two strength, military power, Dothraki mercenary. So that's cool. Prized one, response. After you play him, choose an opponent. Move all gold from that player's gold pool to yours.
Nice, I mean, Redwind Straits, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's about the very best option that you'll get out of him. You know, he just picks up whatever's left in their gold pool.
Yeah.
You can't even do neat tricks with him like you can with, what's the Greyjoy guy that bounces his hand? Craighorn.
Yeah.
It shadows, if they're trying to keep stuff around for shadows.
Yeah. Definitely. That's a great play. Also, there's another card that I've really liked to play, and I haven't in quite a while, which is Pyromancer's Apprentice. That could be nice for getting that kill shot in.
Yeah, that's possible.
I ran out of things to think of.
You one, if he only nets you one gold, I mean, people leave some gold around, it happens. Even if he nets you one gold, that essentially makes him zero.
Yeah. And then he's a 0 for 2, prized 1 guy that doesn't do Dothraki. Anything else, but can be discarded easily because he's a mercenary.
But if you're building a merc theme, or, I don't know, there's literally nothing for that, but...
There's not nothing. There's the Lannister gold cloaks, and the Tatter.
Hey.
But there are now a bunch of mercenaries.
Yeah.
So we're getting especially neutral mercenaries, so it would not surprise me if at some point in the future, mercs became a thing. I can't imagine them
Why not? Whenever you have one of the most broken cards in the game as a mercenary, why wouldn't mercenaries become a thing? And I am talking about, obviously, Brown Bin Plum.
Yes.
Best card in the game. Best card in the game. I dare you to name two cards better than that.
I can't. But he is a Dothraki. I mean, I'd stick him in a Dothraki deck.
Why not? You know who else is going to be in that deck? Brown Bin Plum. Why not?
He'll
be in there.
He might be.
He'll be in there. Incinerate, five Dothraki on the board, but a Brown Bin Plum, mercenary. Bam. No?
Right.
Fine.
You know, it is nice that he doesn't have that neutral house thing, which I had kind of missed when I first glanced at him. So that does open up his application a little bit.
Definitely. He is prized one, I guess we should mention that, but his cost is pretty good. So really not a whole lot more you can ask for. The effect, it's obviously not just going to be in every deck ever, but it could come in handy. I mean, say your opponent left two gold on there. I mean, you play him, you've netted yourself one gold. That's not bad.
It's not super great either.
It's not super great. Jeez, man. Oh, with all those shadows rolling around nowadays, I almost want to give him higher. I'm just going to give him a C. I'm going to give him a C, actually, because of the amount of shadows rolling around, and because he does work with that nice little Pyromancer's Apprentice combo that I enjoy. I like Pyromancer's Apprentice a lot, and he could come in handy coming in with that kill shot until someone he calls it thinking's that. Then you get sad. So, but yeah, he gets a C. Will, what are you going to give him?
I mean, he's fairly okay. There's a lot of decent weenies floating around again already. Floating around currently. So, I don't expect to see him just all over the place, changing games. He's maybe like a C-. He's acceptable if you've got the right deck for it or something.
I'll give him a B-. I think he's kind of neat.
A B-, good lord.
I don't know.
Not that neat, bro. Jeez.
Someone will find some stupid bullshit way to...
I don't think they will.
Choke out your gold.
I don't think they will. Not with that guy. All right. Moving on.
Yep. Moving on.
You will.
All right. Here we go. Next to last card in the pack. This is Calling the Banners. It's an event. Prized one. Dominance. Search your deck for a prized card. Reveal it and add it to your hand. Then shuffle your deck. I'm torn. I like that search. But I also know that I really loved
Dream.
Yes, that I really loved Green Dream. And I played a deck that wanted to use it. I think I probably played it against you a couple times. And it just was never quite there in the way I needed it.
The fact
it to
that
be.
It's dominance.
Yeah.
That's why. If it was any phase, it's way better. Yeah.
I like it.
You do?
A lot.
Okay.
Let's say you got your Tricon out, and you're like, hey, I really want to rock out with my Fire Made Flesh. Go get it. wreck face next turn. Let's say...
I mean, you better be really... in position, because you're going to give him 3 power after all that.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you're going to get 3 power. Not a big deal. I think there are a lot of times to go get that piece you need, that, like, high octane, set your deck on fire. I see this a lot in Rush. Rush and combo, I mean, is what this card is for. And those houses don't necessarily care about giving you power. So, yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
You know, now, this is a different card than Grim Dream, of course. But I remember even trying to slot, like, 1 Grim Dream into a Greyjoy Winter deck just as, like, a fourth Marauders type of idea, and I still just could not justify the card just happening in the dominance phase. It's just not good stuff. So now the difference here, I think, is that a lot of the prized cards, you know, are supposed to be super efficient for their cost and like a really, really fat effect. That don't require it to be a season like the Wintertime Marauders do, even though they're ridiculously bonkers. Anyways, this might end up being good, but I can't say I'm sold on it just from prior experience with a similar card.
Yeah, I think really just in the end, I'm with Daryl. Prior experience with a very similar card in Grim Dreams just makes me think in the end, this is not going to be good enough. So I'm probably just giving it like a D+.
I think Combo and Rush will love it. Absolutely love it. So I'll give it a B-. That's a B for boy, not D for douchebag.
There you go. I hope you're right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I definitely know that search events are kind of meh sometimes, but I think some of these cards you really would kill for. Like, go get your Heart's Bane. Okay, I got my Knight of Flowers, or I got my Double Renown Bob out. I just need that effect to get him going, or gotta get my Fire Maid Flesh, or whatever it is you're looking for.
Yeah. All right, moving on. The last card in the pack.
Indeed.
It is a plot. It is Common Cause, which has already been spoiled, I believe, a few times over at this point. But for those of you who do not know what it is or are not familiar right now, it is a 3/1X. It is prized 1. It is X is equal to the number of different house affiliations among the characters you control. Each character cannot contribute more than 1 house affiliation to this count. So.
That's there for Jacken. That's the only person that comes to mind.
Well, Brain of Tarth, he can only contribute 1.
I know, House but I, when I first was thinking about that restriction, I was always like, why is that there? And I'm like, it's there for
Jacken. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, Jacken
because
would be...
Because 5 claim challenges are... I guess 6 claim challenges are silly. You can still do it like a rainbow deck. My thought was Conquest. Yeah. Conquest is probably giving you 2, maybe 3 if you're creative.
I mean, it could easily give you 3, really. Just run like a dual house character.
Actually, it could probably give you 4 if you do Barret and Lanny. No, let's see. You probably want to do Barret and...
You need Lanny to Targ, bro. Right?
Lanny to Targ?
Or Lanny to Barret.
So that gives you Lannister and Barret because of the Tyrells. And then, Targ gives you Targ and Stark because of...
Mormont, Jorah.
Yeah. And if you really want to be crazy, then you could throw in the Dragon Chasers. No, they're only Targ or Greyjoy.
They are Greyjoy.
My thought is you go...
I don't know.
Barret to something. Barret Conquest something, and then you run Mel's Favors. And so you steal one of like their characters, or enslaved, or whatever,
take control of their crap, and then you come hit them with reclaim whatever.
There you go. I mean, Barrett's never bad, because they could run Barrett a Stark, maybe? No.
No, well, you get a bunch of that anyways. With Brienne.
Stark guy.
Yeah, Brienne and some of the other little guys.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure that there's a good option we're just not talking about. But anyways, the point is that, you know, you're probably going to get claim 3 on the regular if you're doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and they're doing it right.
So it's a cool plot. Again, it encourages multi-house.
Yeah, which is a great idea. It's fun.
It's funny how, this cycle has a lot of good cards in it. Or this pack has a lot of good cards in it, and the thing that I think got the most help was Rainbow / Splash / Conquest combo rush decks, which is not a thing right now. So I like that the stuff that seems to get the most firepower is not currently prevalent.
Yeah.
I guess that it was just hard aggro or hard control, and now I think it's really hard aggro. So it's kind of neat that that's where it's going.
I guess it's worth keeping. I guess worth mentioning, I should say, that if you run this plot with a neutral faction deck or something, and you just have some neutral guys out, you just boned yourself. Right? Because then it's a 3-1-0 because you don't have a house affiliation with neutral bros.
Wait, what?
Neutral doesn't count as a house affiliation. Regardless, so even if you're not neutral faction, even if you're whatever, you only have neutral guys out, your claim is 0.
Okay, yeah, sorry. No, I was thinking of the way Daryl said that wrong. I was thinking he meant if you were neutral faction that this wouldn't work at all.
No.
I got you.
Yeah, as I just meant, yeah. So be careful. Make sure you got some dudes out.
Or if it gets blanked somehow, like Forgotten Plans, now your claim is 0.
Yeah. I mean, really, even if you pop it and it's a 3-1-1, like, that sucks balls. So you really have to make sure you're in position to smack that ass. Like, even if you flop it and it's a 3-1-2, that's not really good for being prized one. So you really have to think about it. I don't think you can just swap it in there and be like, oh, you know,
most
I run 3 out-of-house guys or something that all have different affiliations. Hopefully I can rock and roll. Like, you kind of have to build your deck around this idea a little bit. I should say a lot of bit, really.
A lot of bit.
A lot of bit.
Maybe all neutral right. faction. Good one for neutral faction.
It is very good for neutral faction. That's the pack.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
That was Fire Made Flesh.
It's pretty good.
It had some fun cards. I'm excited to pop it open and build some... That adds to some decks I've already built, really. Let us know what you folks think about Fire Made Flesh. If you have some different ratings, you differ. If you agree with us, please, we would love to hear it. You don't have to sit there and give us a... one by one if you don't want to. Hey, if you do, that's awesome. We read all of that stuff. We like to see it and see what everyone else thinks. And if you disagree with us, we like to hear that too, and we like to hear why you disagree.
Yeah, please.
Mainly the why.
Yeah, don't just say you guys are a bunch of dumbasses and then don't tell us why. We at least want to know why.
Yeah, why Daryl is wrong.
Yeah, I won't judge you. I won't judge you for just calling me a dumbass, but I'd like to know why. Props and slops.
Indeed.
I have so many of these right now.
Oh, really?
I have so many. I've been gone for a while. So, of course, I was going to accumulate some. I will just say one, and then I'll let somebody else say something. I'll try not to drag them on for too long. First one is a slop to moving, because it is one of the worst experiences of all time. I have too much
Isn't
shit.
It?
I mean, really, I should have just burnt everything I own to the ground so I would have less to move.
That is a plan I cannot naysay, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I could donate it, but I really don't want to put that burden on somebody. I put a burden of a 50-inch television on you, sir, when I could just burn it to the ground.
You can always buy a new
one. That's right.
Best Buy delivers,
oh,
right?
Oh, man, yeah. That's, come on. No big deal.
Yeah. NBD.
Kyle, you got one?
Yeah. Like that? No. Me and Danny cooked up, what are they called? Croquettes, I think is what she called them. They are essentially deep fried, breaded, mashed potato balls. We put cheese and ham in them, and they were awesome. It's a very culturing moment for me. I learned a lot. But it was pretty sweet. I was like, these are delicious.
That does sound pretty amazing.
He did. He made mashed potatoes. We put some cheese in it. Then we let it get cold. So it was. And then you just bread them. So for people who don't know how to do that, you dip it in flour. Then you dip it in milk and egg mixed together. Then you dip it in breadcrumbs. And then you toss it in a deep fryer for a little bit. And then bam. You're done. I guess theoretically you could like fry them in a pan. A little bit of oil for a little bit, and then bake them to finish it out. I mean, everything's cooked, really, besides that egg, so, like, give it a minute, and then you're making it warm. I mean, it's pretty easy.
Gotcha.
So that's a good hobo food. The fat kid in me would load that up with, like, put, like, a ball of cheddar in the middle around the potato with some bacon.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at that, and I was like, instantly, like... I could fat kid the snot out of this.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, I did. That rules. Why not?
And it might have been worth it, too.
Ooh. I don't know. Danny judges me. She tells me I want to put cheese in everything. Like, everything. So I try to lay off the cheese sometimes.
Dude, cheese rules, man. Unless you're lactose intolerant. Then cheese still rules. It just rules your bowels and not rules in the that's awesome kind of way.
Yeah, in the more traditional sense.
That was deep, Daryl. That was deep.
Yeah.
It's Daryl's new nickname, Deep Dish Daryl.
That's right. I don't have anything to follow that up with. Will, give us a proper
response. Well, that's good. I do. Okay, all right. I've got a gigantic prop. I'm gonna stop here for a moment while you listeners and probably just Daryl get your web browser open. And we're gonna tell you to go to gametimber.com. Okay? It's a deck box building website. The guys that did that Lake Billy card game and that I believe it was Farm Wars at Dogmite Games that we've propped a couple times on the show before, have a new Kickstarter, a new project that should have a couple weeks left on Kickstarter at the time this episode airs. And they sent me a link to that, to the actual builder site, gametimber.com, so I could check it out. And it is badass. Like, it's all handcrafted. It looks like they're single deck boxes. There's, good grief, there had to have been a dozen different kinds of wood that you can choose. Then you can customize the type of studs that are on it, the layout of the studs, corner pieces, the hinges, the clasp on the front, handle, several other accent pieces like for the sides, and just on and on. They are crazy awesome, and they look perfect for Game of Thrones. So check out Game Timber. They're only, I think, shooting for like $2,500 to get started, just to buy some more materials to have on hand as people order them. So I definitely suggest that everybody go check that out.
There you go. All right. Well,
back to you.
Back to me. One of my many. So I have another slop. I had a pretty bad week, But this will be my last slop. I had a heck of a week, and not in a good kind of heck of a week. But anyways, and that is to being a handyman. It is overrated. Though I do enjoy tinkering and learning, I do not enjoy it whenever it has to deal with, like, my car, which I did have to change the alternator and then the serpentine belt on it the next day, because that sucked. And then I was working on my washer and dryer and, like, just totally got super pissed off about, like, hooking up this dryer vent. Like, this shit's hard. Like, when you're growing up and, like, your uncle or your dad or whatever is, like, working on stuff, like, he makes it look super easy because he already knows, like, all this shit. Like, you didn't have to look at the pain and torment in his eyes when he was a young lad learning about all these things. And so I just had a serious experience with this kind of stuff, and I'm sure I'll have a lot more with it just doing stuff around the house and getting stuff ready and whatnot, because we just moved into a new place. I don't know if I mentioned that, but we did. Nothing crazy, just a nice little duplex, but regardless, just doing that kind of stuff sucks. It's for the birds. I should hire somebody to do this stuff for me. But first...
You really should.
Right. First, I will need money. Kyle, I'm going to need those podcast checks back.
Ah, crap. I already cashed those so I could buy you mashed potatoes.
It's impossible.
They bought a lot of mashed potatoes.
A lot of
mashed
potatoes.
Not as much as you think.
No.
Those checks weren't very big.
All right. Anybody else have a prop or a slop?
I've got another prop.
Oh, he's got
I'll a prop. I'll prop Thrones this week. Thrones this week was good. And okay. I will slop Mad Men this week, because Mad Men this week was not good.
Ooh, I need to catch up. I'm still in season 5. It's been slow going for me.
Yeah. That's kind of become my thing now. I was on Mondays, Tuesdays, I catch up on Thrones and Mad Men. So both there Sunday.
Right.
And with a stupid wedding thing, I know. Keep having my weekends booked doing wedding stuff. So.
Ooh, I feel so sorry for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. So normally I'm driving back from wherever I've currently been Sunday night, so.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Thrones was great. Thrones was amazing, but Mad Men was
Yeah, Thrones episode was good. Tyrion's speech, well delivered. Or did you mean the game?
All right, well, that's that. Will, do you have anything?
Man, Kyle just doesn't even play along. It's just dead silence.
Nope. He just doesn't care.
Listen, you know what? I'm funny between years of 10:30 a.m. till 9:45 p.m., but it is officially tomorrow. Yeah, this probably is the first podcast ever recorded that spanned 2 days.
Yeah. We were trying to get started early enough that this wouldn't happen, but things didn't go that well.
Nope.
I was battling that dryer and I lost that.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate that dryer too now.
Dude, I tell you what. You have no idea. I raged hard.
You should put dried cow shit in it, so it to dry that.
I mean, that dryer made me O2 drop, for sure.
I'm sure it did.
That was
well, great. I've got one last prop myself that I think I'm going to throw out there real
Propping
quick.
Propping yourself?
No, not to myself. Mine is actually going to be a musical prop to Lindsey Stirling,
so
who, her second album, Shatter Me, dropped a couple weeks ago, and I picked it up at Target. Yeah, that's right, I bought a physical CD for the first time in like a year and a half, two, maybe 3 years, I don't know, it's been a long time. And so now that's playing on loop in my car, and it is fantastic.
Get the violinist.
Yeah, yeah. Who kind of combines her violin stuff with kind of a dubstep electronic feel.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of good stuff on there. The title song, Shatter Me, has vocals done by, what's her name? Nikki Hale? Is her last name Hale or Haley from Hailstorm?
I have no idea.
The band? Anyway, I don't know. I like their music fairly well, so it was cool to hear her doing, the vocals on there. There's a couple other tracks that are great, like Take Flight. Sounds like a good superhero theme song, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no Superman the movie theme song that everybody knows, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
So I highly recommend that album.
Nice.
There's a lot of really cool collaborations. She's on YouTube a lot. If you just type her name and you'll find all kinds of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, she does great videos on YouTube. Holy cow. Because she's evidently been a dancer at some... That was loud.
Cal's rolling over in bed.
She's evidently been a dancer at some point in her life, so she does really cool stuff in the video while, I mean, fake playing a violin, but hey, it looks cool at least.
Yeah. That's funny that you have a musical prop, because I have one too, and I haven't had one in a super long time. And that would be to the band Bad Bad Not Good. They have a new album out, and I have no idea how to say it. I think it's just like three or something like that. But Bad Bad Not Good is a sweet band because they are a jazz band. And if you know me, you know I like a lot of different kinds of music, but jazz, probably would have never thought of it. They're one of the first bands influenced by hip-hop that have done jazz instead of jazz that's influenced, or hip-hop that's influenced by jazz. They're obviously a jazz band. So, super cool. Their third track, Confessions, is amazing. One of the best saxophones I've heard in a long time in a song. And you should check them out. Bad, Bad, Not Good. Seriously, listen to them. It's not like crazy music. It's really chill. It's really cool. It's sexy. And I think that does it. I think that does it for the show, unless somebody else had a proper slop.
Nope.
That does it for me.
Nope, nothing. Okay. Well, thank you for staying for this incredibly long episode of Two Champs and a Chump. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so at our Facebook page, facebook.com/twochamps1chump. Hit us up on Twitter. We like to tweet, so please tweet us, twitter.com/twochamps1chump. Email us if you have an idea for the show, seriously, or we always would like to at least bank up some ideas if we ever can't think of anything. We are not geniuses. We do not have all the answers sometimes. Sometimes we figure out what we're going to talk about on a show like 5 minutes before we record it. So we would really like it if you have some ideas or you have something you'd like to hear on the show. For God's sake, send us an email or Facebook message us. And you can email us at twochamps1chump@gmail.com. So please do so. If you haven't liked our Facebook page and all that good stuff, please do it. We like the likes, and the likes like us.
Danger Zone!
You know, I don't want to start into, you know, something terrible as far as rules go right here in the middle of the podcast, but doesn't Riders of the Red Fork say that it is a legal option for any search effect?
Anything that would search your deck, I believe.
Does it specifically say your deck?
I believe it does say your deck. I believe it does.
Someone get that wording in front of me right now.
Here we go.
No.
Because otherwise, couldn't you just go get him with Lewin?
What do you mean get him with Lewin? That's
what I'm saying. I've never really looked or thought about that before.
I believe it says.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody's played more Riders of the Red Fork
than this guy. No, it says, while Riders of the Red Fork is in your deck, it meets the criteria to be found by any search effect.
Oh, shit.
Now,
you're right.
Like I said, I don't want to get into some sort of terrible, terrible rules thing.
But the criteria here is any card. You're just searching the top five. It's just saying it's a valid target
for any search effect. I'm sure Alex or K-Tom or whoever will point out to me why it's wrong.
Right.
But at the surface glance,
yeah,
it looks like Riders can be found by literally any search effect.
It does say that.
That's
you're
so
right.
Wrong. Because
I mean,
it's the field
awesome.
In which you're searching. It's like, the thought is, so it's like, look in this pasture for a duck, and it's full of, and there's like a bunch of ducks, and the Riders of Red Fork. You can choose a Riders of Red Fork because they're in that pasture.
Well, maybe
in the forest for a duck, and Riders are over in this pasture. Like, you can't be like, oh, the Riders, because they're not there.
So, but if it did say, like, search the top five for an event, and you revealed the Riders, you could grab them.
Well,
right?
Yeah. No, you could always do that, but it's
so...
the field and the duck thing. It's more like the Riders, in my mind, looking at their text. It's more like the Riders have a huge siren on them. And sure, the field in front of you may be what you're looking for, for that duck. But the Riders are in the field behind you with a bullhorn yelling, "Hey, I'm a duck! I'm a duck! Turn around and look over here, I'm a duck." So
this has gone way too far.
I know.
I'm a duck.